Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We've got a very fine Friday for you. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here and we'll do a little bit of bonus open forum with Jimmy. We're looking forward to that. First hour, our good friend, and I mean that, our good friend Gary Zimak is here. We've had some wonderful shows together and he's produced wonderful books to help with one of the great problems in our entire world these days, worry, anxiety, that kind of lack of peace and upset that the world just seems to foster, just seems to shovel on to people. Probably the most famous of his books is Give Up Worry for Lent. We usually do a Lenten show at the beginning of Lent or a little before the beginning of Lent each year with that book. And I don't know how many people have told us. Among them, as I've said many times, my own wife, who does it each Lent, to say that that book is just so helpful. Give Up Worry for Lent. Well, Gary Zimak has got a new book out. It's called God is Still Good. When your days are dark, God is still good. Biblical advice to help you trust in difficult times. Gary, thanks for being here in the summertime.
Oh, Cy, it's different. You think we can handle it? It's not Lent.
I know, so. It's weird. I feel out of place. I feel like you're our Christmas and Easter guest.
That's true. Oh, man.
Well, that's all right. Most Catholics go to church Christmas and Easter, too. So we're glad that you're here.
Thank you.
You also do a lot of public speaking. You can find out all about what Gary does, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it as we go, followingthetruth.com. But when your days are dark, God is still good. What does that mean? What are you trying to say there?
You know, Cy, this book grew out of St. Paul's famous Bible verse. I use it all the time. We see it all over the place. Romans 8:28, when Paul wrote, "We know in everything God works for good, with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." Paul said, we know that. We know that God works for good in everything. And when I read that, I say, we do. You know, Paul might know it, right?
That's the Gary Zimak response. We do?
Right. We do. But here's the thing. When you look at Paul's life, what he went through, the suffering, the difficulties he faced, if he's able to say that I know that no matter what I go through, God can bring good out of it, I want to listen to what this guy has to say. So this book grew out of that. This book is an attempt to give hope to somebody who is hopeless. I don't try to answer the why question, because sometimes, most of the time, I don't know why you might be going through what you're going through. So what I did in this book, I went into the Bible, and I really felt I was led by the Holy Spirit to do this. And I look at 14 biblical accounts of God working good in really ugly situations. And the hope is that if somebody can see him working good in these horrific, oftentimes, situations, they can believe that he can do it in their situation, too. That's what the book's all about.
If you want to talk about that, give us a call, 888-318-7884. These are dark days for a lot of people. It hasn't felt light and breezy for years. I mean, certainly the pandemic got us all down, but it just seems like it's gone on longer than that. People seem down in many ways.
Yeah, and Cy, the reason I'm so passionate about this, and I've been doing full-time evangelization, writing, speaking for 11 years now. The reason I'm so passionate is I'm one of those people. I tend to be anxious. I tend to be negative. I tend to get discouraged. Mm-hmm. But the Lord has helped me so much. And, you know, I keep meeting people. I meet so many people who say, Gary, that's my story. Your story is my story. And you've given me hope. And so I just keep trying to do that, to let people know that, man, God is still good. And he can bring you peace, even in the midst of whatever is going on. And no doubt about it, my friend, there's a lot of bad stuff going on right now.
Yeah. So, right? So I'm interested in your strategy, though, of not trying to answer the why question, because I think that's the most pressing question when we're really suffering. But it feels like the most pressing question, but we don't actually need the answer to it.
No. And what I wanted to do, Cy, I didn't want to be the guy to try to answer the why question for somebody who is in the middle of some horrific suffering.
Yeah.
They might tackle that question themselves and the Lord might inspire them. But, you know, I don't want to look at somebody and say, well, here's why or here's what you need to do. That would be really insensitive of me. And I didn't try to do that. But I felt the Holy Spirit could guide me to do that through the inspired words in the Bible. You know, because people, they're looking for hope more than anything else. They're looking for hope and comfort. And sometimes we can do that without getting the why question answered. A lot of times we can do that without getting the why question answered.
Well, if I'm really convinced, and I have found this in my own life, and I think many Christians would confess to the same thing. When we become really convinced that God is on our side, is not our opponent, is not our, you know, kind of executioner, or is not a puppet master, but is truly on our side. Once we become aware, then there is a kind of, you know, if you want to tell me why now, fine, but I can wait for the why as well. That trust breeds a letting go of the need for the answer.
That is exactly right. And, you know, I sometimes make the point when I know my wife loves me. I have no doubt about it. Therefore, when she makes dinner for me, I don't test it to see if I'm being poisoned, because I trust her. I know she loves me, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's right. And that's right. That's what the kind of relationship we need to work on with God. And it's a gradual process. I'll tell you, Si, I trust him more now. I choose to trust him more now than I did 5, 6, 7 years ago. The more I know him, the more I realize he is on my side. He loves me, and he's bigger than whatever I'm facing. He could make it go away, but if he allows it to exist, it must somehow be good for me. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And I believe it more each day.
888-318-7884 is the number. Gary Zimak is our guest. You know him from Give Up Worry for Lent, for that book or other books. In that genre, this book, When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. And, you know, you said the more I know him, and by the way, I'm hoping to be that my marriage will progress to the point where I don't test my food for poison. I am. It's a beautiful testament to your marriage, Gary.
Well, thank you.
But you said the more I know him, the more I trust.
But
the Word of God is a great place to start getting to know him.
It sure is. It sure is. And I was very guilty of not understanding the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible, despite 12 years of Catholic education. But the Lord has gradually brought me along. You know, and I give a lot of credit to the Holy Spirit, too. The Holy Spirit helps me, works through me to help every day. One of my prayers, my wife and I pray together in the morning. One of our prayers is always, Holy Spirit, come alive in me, inspire my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And I always add, please make the Father and Jesus more real to me today and help me not forget about them,
you know? Yeah.
And I find it working, you know, and I really look at God as my Father now. And so does my wife. She looks at him as her Father, which is something that grew out of COVID for her. When we went through the pandemic, she struggled tremendously with anxiety. We talked about this before, but through our praying together, and she began to reach out to God as her Father. And we talk to him as our Father. We call him by name, Father. Every morning we talk to him. That really helps. But, you know, it takes time, and it's a gradual getting to know you process. But it's great, because I'm very peaceful for the most part now.
Oh, gosh, what a beautiful witness. Hey, if you're afflicted with anxiety and upset and worry, Gary Zimak's the guy you want to know. He's here with us for this hour. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We'll continue our conversation about the new book, When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. And we'll get your calls for Gary right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Check out EWTN's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Gary Zimak, our guest. It's been a tradition now. We usually start Lent or prepare for Lent with an interview with Gary because of his very, very fine, very accessible and helpful book, really accessible to anybody, called Give Up Worry for Lent. And it's a 40-day kind of process of walking with Jesus to give up that worry. He's got a new book out called When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. And if you'd like to talk with Gary, just give us a call, 888-318-7884. So what you do here in this new book, Gary, is you take actual Bible stories where things looked pretty dark and God expressed his goodness in there. And I don't know if you're some kind of Bible genius or super Bible scholar, but you started with the story of Adam and Eve. What would make you start with the story of Adam and Eve?
By the way, let me just say
we went
this.
In chronological order.
When you said, I don't know if you're a Bible scholar, the answer is absolutely not. But you know, here's the thing. I believe the Lord speaks to us on our level, and I've learned a lot about the Bible in the past several years, and he really does speak to us through the Bible, and I love to let him speak to me through Scripture. So Adam and Eve, here's the deal, Si. So many times in my life, I have messed up. I said the wrong thing. I shut off my mouth. I sent a bad email. I made a bad comment on Facebook, on and on and on. And I knew that from that point on, the situation was damaged forever. It was unfixable. Yeah. My life was over, and I was plunged into despair. And then we look at Adam and Eve. When it comes to bad mistakes, you're not going to top them. And if God can bring good out of that, he can bring good out of anything that I do. Si, I'm not that good that I can screw up so bad that God can't fix it.
Wow,
and
what a way to say
the story.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's funny because you can get into, I mean, there's probably endless theology that can be done about Adam and Eve. But here's a very basic, clear lesson. And I love the fact that there is nothing I can do that's a bigger mess up than what Adam and Eve did. And right away, God started to work on fixing it. That's his approach, is a fatherly, well, let's see if we can get this back together.
Yeah. Now, in all fairness, it took him a long time because he's very methodical. And also, there were permanent consequences from what Adam and Eve did. He didn't make it go away. He brought good out of it. And I think that's what we need to look at. You know, first of all, we got to be patient with God. He can bring good out of our mess up. He's going to depend on us to cooperate, possibly. And we might never see the good that he brings out of it. Sometimes, Si, you know what? I've been in that situation where I think I've mastered a particular sin. Oh, I'm never going to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember when I used to do that. And guess what happens? I fall on my face. And I think the good that comes out of that sometimes is the Lord saying, Gary, you got to get a little more humble. You know, you're getting a little too proud. You're forgetting you need me. And the good that can come out of your mess up is sometimes the realization of just how weak you are and how much you need the Lord's help and what a great sacrament confession is.
Yeah, yeah. And there he is, just like he was for Adam and Eve, to bring you back. And so this is what you do in the book. Like, when we mess up is the chapter on Adam and Eve. Followed by a chapter on Lazarus when God is late, or a wonderful chapter on Joseph when others mess up, because that can be...
That's even worse, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, I didn't even cause this and I'm paying the price.
Exactly. But there is God in a fatherly way to bring good out of it. I think one of the things that... I don't know if it's... I do think it's worse for modern people than for any other people, is this idea of getting dreams dashed. You know, like in the olden days when you were like, you just, I don't know, inherited the farm or something, then you just, you know, maybe you had a bad year or there were locusts that year or something like that, but you knew what you were going to do. Now we kind of get lost and get our dreams dashed. I think there's more disappointment. There's also many more goods, but there's more disappointment. And you take the disciples on the road to Emmaus to help with that emotion.
I think it's a great story because we're sort of walking along with them, eavesdropping, if you want to say that. They're depressed. They're discouraged. They're thinking, oh, man, they just killed our Messiah. What do we do now? And Jesus walks along with them, which I just love how he plays along. oh, what are you guys talking about? And they tell him. And I think that's so great that the Lord asked that question. Of course, he knew what they were talking about. But by him asking that and to be recorded in the Bible, now I get an insight into their mindset. They're depressed. They're discouraged because he was crucified. And he's alive and walking with them.
Right.
And Cy, when we look at that story, that's a reminder that just as Mary Magdalene came to anoint a dead body and was crying because they took him out of the tomb, sometimes we are looking at a very good situation in our lives, a good outcome, but we're not perceiving it that way. It's possible we're getting it wrong, which is what happened with the disciples on the road to Emmaus because it didn't play out the way they expected.
Right, not at all the way they expected, but it's so.
No.
There's another one. I just get a sense of confidence when you point out the fact that in their dejection, he was already there with them. They just didn't know yet.
Exactly.
They didn't know.
He came to them. They were suffering. He came to them. And I think we see that so many times with the Lord. When people are hurting, he has compassion on them. His heart's breaking, and he doesn't just sit back and say, "Wow, that's a shame." He does something about it. So if we're hurting right now, if we're struggling, if our dreams have collapsed, he's right on the job. You know, we just got to reach out to him and access him because he's there feeling bad for us, but also showing his mercy and helping us.
Yeah. When your days are dark, God is still good is the new book from Gary Zimak. That's what we're talking about. You are welcome to call. There are folks on the line. I'm going to ask Gary about one or two more Bible stories, and then I'll get to the calls. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Is that all right if I ask you about a couple more of these Bible stories?
Oh, please do.
Because it's just... you know what? Through the book, you've read these stories through the lens of what you do, which is to help people let go of the worry and upset by a very simple act, which is also the hardest act maybe you'll ever perform. Trust God.
Mm-hmm. And that's a conscious decision. It's not a feeling. And I say that all the time. Somebody will say, and I think you can see it over my shoulder, the divine mercy image, very important to me, Jesus, with the words, Jesus, I trust in you. I'll tell people to pray that prayer. Well, I don't feel it. I feel like a hypocrite. You don't have to feel it because it's a choice. It's not a feeling. So trust, you can choose to trust the Lord even if you are scared to death. I do it all the time. Even if you feel hopeless, good. That's even a bigger act of trust, right? And that makes him feel good. You know, we have to remember Jesus has human emotions. He can feel it. He can feel things. He can feel your love. So when I'm scared, when I think this situation is fixed beyond belief, and I turn to him and say, Jesus, I trust in you, he thinks, oh, man, this guy really loves me.
Which I know in your case is true, Gary. 888-318-7884, the number. There's a lot of people, and I may be among them, who will go with you all the way down this road, but we have a problem when it comes to money. Can I really trust God with my finances? That's his area, Lord. I will take care of myself. I don't want to let you in there. And you have a chapter called When You're Struggling Financially. And weirdly, you went to the prophet Elijah.
I did. You know, he's always been one of my favorites. So 11 years in full time. This is my full time job supporting my family as a Catholic evangelist and author. This is how I earn my living. Cy. That makes no sense, right? I was in software for 30 years, but I have seen the Lord provide in an incredible way for us. Did we have to downsize? Oh, you better believe we did. We had to sell our house. We had to sacrifice. We had to give up some of our whims. And we weren't living extravagantly, but I have seen the Lord provide, and I continue to see the Lord provide. And I look at that story of Elijah, the prophet, where he's being fed, the Lord sends him away to a brook where he's getting his drinking water, and then the ravens are providing his food to him. The ravens are scavengers. Why would they share their food? That makes no sense. And then the brook dries up. I love this part. The brook dries up, and then the Lord says, all right, now I need you to go to this place called Zarephath, and there's a widow there, a helpless widow who is going to provide for you. What makes sense about that? This is right, but it worked. And that's why the Lord calls us to trust. I don't like it, Cy. I'm a control freak. I like to be self-sufficient. but he's working on me. And you know, he is so faithful. That's why that story means a lot to me. And I'll tell you what, he is a there is no way, I could say this without doubt, there is no way the Lord would create us and then abandon us. He's going to provide for our needs. The fact that you and I are alive right now is proof of that. He's taking care of all of our needs, not always our wants, but our needs.
Gary Zimak, our guest. The lines are getting quite full, Gary. So before I will get to ask you about the big one, the big J, Job.
Oh, yeah.
Who's got to be, we can't get through this conversation right. without Job. But let's go to Patricia in St. Louis, Missouri, who's been waiting. Patricia listening on Covenant Network. Thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Gary.
Hi, I don't really have a question. I'm a little bit older lady, and I'm retired. And some of the younger women know that they can come up to me, and I have an ear. And I find the best thing when they tell me their woes and their children are such awful things, and I'm thinking of my brothers. And I don't tell them about that. I just say, you know what? Remember on the road to Emmaus? Jesus was there, and they didn't even know him. Well, Jesus is in the midst of your trials right now. He knows what's going on, and he wants to talk to you. And if you just talk to him, you'll be able to fill it out. Or you'll have people around you you can tell, you can kind of get some advice from them. Because it's going to work out. You cannot be discouraged. Yeah. He's the one that made you, and he's the one that will stay with you. And it makes me feel better. I'm not just saying, oh, well, I'll pray for you, which is what my usual comment has been. That's pretty routine. You've got to give them something else. You've got to give them Jesus. And these are Catholics. They go to the Latin Mass. But they have problems, and they have complaints, too, just like I do.
Gary?
So thank you.
Oh, sorry. Patricia, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But Gary, go ahead and respond.
Yeah, Patricia, great point you make. And one of the things, I love your approach. People need to believe that Jesus cares and he is with them. Emmaus is a great story. One of my favorite little couple words in the story of Lazarus, the death of Lazarus, is the fact that Jesus wept, that Bible verse, Jesus wept. And you know, he didn't weep because he didn't know what he was going to do. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He wept when he saw the people's sadness. That's what the Bible says. And that's what, so many times we see Jesus had pity on the people. We see that throughout the Gospels. He cares. He cares. If you're crying, he is crying with you. And just the fact that he doesn't take the problem away, it doesn't mean that he can't. It means that he's doing it in his time. That's such an important concept to remember, that the Lord is with us and we never have to go through anything alone.
Patricia, thank you very, very much. Appreciate the call. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The new book from Gary Zimak, When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good. And it's following in a long line of work that Gary has done to help us, which I think, you know, Gary, like, one of the reasons I love having you on, I got to say, is that in a practical sense, I don't think that there's a more pervasive problem than the lack of peace that people have in the modern world, this sense of worry and anxiety and upset.
Yeah, and if you don't have enough things to worry about, all you need to do is turn the TV on, go on the internet, and you'll be given a list. But you know, Cy, we are given a half-truth. We're told all the things that are a danger to us. The media often likes to say that, well, this is bad, this is bad, this is going to happen. But they don't give you the truth. The truth is that the Lord's bigger than any of those problems and that he is in control. So, yeah, as Jesus said with John 16:33, in this world you will have problems, but be of good cheer, not because they're all going to go away, but because I have overcome the world. And you know, Cy, just quickly, when I go and I give my parish missions, especially the Lenten ones, when I get to speak sometimes at the end of the masses briefly, I'll always make the point, you know why we worry as Christians? It's because God isn't real enough to us. If he was real enough to us and we knew how much he loved us and we knew how much in control he really was, we wouldn't worry. But that's the thing. And this is a process. I am an anxious person by nature. I am a control freak. And he's gradually helping me to overcome that, because you can't be a follower of the Lord and try to lead him at the same time. It doesn't work out that way, right? I'm learning that.
I didn't mention your podcast, Following the Truth is the podcast. You can go to followingthetruth.com to find out about everything that Gary does, including all the books, the devotionals, all the wonderful stuff, including the new book, When Your Days Are Dark, God is Still Good. But he does these parish missions to help people give up worry for Lent. You can get them for Advent. Yeah, because I know parishes do parish missions at Advent. You can have them come out at Lent. I highly recommend it. And you know what? You'll be addressing what people really are suffering with, this worry. Followingthetruth.com. We'll continue with more Gary Zimak on Catholic Answers Live right after this. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com. Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Here's a little fact for you, a little fact you can file away. It's a fact. When your days are dark, God is still good. That's also the title of Gary Zimak's newest book. You know Gary from his very popular work, Give Up Worry for Lent, that thousands and thousands of people have done as their Lenten devotional. And this one just out from, tell me, the publisher is Ave Maria?
Ave Maria Press.
Ave Maria Press. I still haven't asked you about Job, and I'm going to, but I feel like I've been depriving the folks on the phone, so we're going back to the phones. Yeah. All right, Gary?
You got it.
All right, back we go. Let's see who we got. We got Greg in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on AM 1260, The Rock. Greg, you are very welcome here. Go ahead with your question for Gary. Did I get the right line? Greg? All right, we're going to have to come back to Greg. I don't know. I was on the right line, right? Line four. It says four. I push four. Okay. I don't know if you know this, Gary, but there's a we have a technical problem in this studio a lot, which is it says line four and I push line five. It says line three and I push line two. But I didn't do it that time. But that is a regularly occurring technical problem.
I believe you, Si. You have an honest face. I believe you, brother.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Gary. The number is 888-318-7884. We'll come back to that call. So now that gives me a chance to ask you about Job. I read your book and I get to the end and I'm like, Gary, I just don't understand it. I'm sorry. I don't understand any of this stuff. It's just over my head.
Or I don't believe it, right, Si?
No,
I mean,
yeah.
And when I wrote this book, I wrote this book for people who are really suffering. I have no idea what somebody could be going through who is reading this book. And, you know, when I had the initial conversation with my editor, she was saying that whatever you do, don't start with Job, because everybody's going to expect you to start with Job. And I said, fair enough. I won't use Job. I was praying about it, and I started, the story of Job just came into my mind. And I thought, you know, Job is like the catch-all. For 38 chapters, Job talked, questions. He talked to his friends. He talked to the Lord. God did not say a word to Job. He didn't explain anything. And then God decided to talk. And he talked, and he talked, and he talked. And he asked Job a series of questions. He didn't answer any of Job's why questions. And basically what the Lord said to Job was, Job, where were you when I created the world? Who's God, Job? And you know, Job finally understood that. And he said, yeah, wait a minute. He's God. I can't possibly figure out everything about God. And that was good enough for Job. And Cy, I wanted to end with that catch-all of Job for somebody who says, I still can't get it. I still don't see it. But we have this story of Job who trusted, who believed that God knew best. And ultimately, that gave him peace. And his fortune turned around. Kind of a happy ending for Job. But I think the Lord needed to teach Job that lesson. It's a lesson that I have to learn.
Right.
If I could figure God out, he wouldn't be God. You know, and there's a certain peace in just saying, Father, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you, because I don't have to worry about the details. It's in your hands. So that's why I ended with Job.
Well done. I'm glad you did include him. That's a story. That's the most extraordinary story. It coming from the ancient world. You know, this story of Job. And God's extraordinary answer to him, one that really doesn't satisfy. A lot of people are not satisfied with that answer and don't understand why Job is satisfied. But once you get why Job is satisfied with the answer, then you get it.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing, Si, is Job never stopped talking to God. Mm-hmm. He had all these people. Mrs. Job was great, wasn't she? Why don't you just curse God and die? I mean, talk about a supportive wife.
Thanks, but, Mrs. You know, Job.
Yeah, exactly. But Job never stopped talking to the Lord. And that's what I would say to anybody who is struggling. Let the Lord know. Let him know you're not happy with him. Let him know you don't understand. Let him know you're miserable. Let him know you're mad at him. I've yelled at him. Yeah. As a good priest friend of mine once said, he's got big shoulders. He can handle it.
Amen, brother. We're going to Susan in Illinois. Susan, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Gary Zimak.
And it's 95.9 is the station.
Oh, okay. Listening on 95.9 FM in Illinois.
AM.
AM. Yes. No, 95.9 can't be. Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that.
I don't know how. Maybe it's a God thing, but I really enjoy listening. Everything you just said about having peace when we have three girls, all three of them have anxiety, but they were raised in a Christian home and they don't believe anymore. And even our youngest daughter, she's 24 and we're moving her to Chicago. We're meeting her there. And anyway, we have a U-Haul and I'm following my husband, but everything y'all have just said just reaffirms that we just need to keep praying for them. And I like what you said about talking to God more about how you feel about it, because our youngest even says, she said she doesn't like guys anymore and she likes girls. And I don't believe she was born that way, but we just keep loving her and trying to look at her through the eyes of God. And
I'm glad you called, Susan, because I have to say one of the most common things that folks struggle with and worry about is the state of their children's relationship with God. Gary?
You know, Si, that is such a real problem. Susan, I am glad you called too, and it sounds like you have the perfect approach to this. And as somebody who likes to control, one of the things I have to ask myself if I'm worried about my kids or the state of the world or anything else is, what can I do about it? And one thing I can always do, as you said, is pray about it. And then if I can't do anything else, it's time to just trust that God will work, knowing that he loves your children even more than you do. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing. And really, you do what you can, do your best, and let God do the rest. That's one of the easiest ways to find peace in life. And then, you know, you read stories in the Bible. That's why I love some of these stories in the Bible. When we look at the miracles of Jesus, the hopeless situations, the healings, the miracles, we're reminded that nothing's impossible for God. Just because he's not answering as quickly as we would like doesn't mean he can't do it. It means he's got another plan. So, yes, pray and then give it up to him and surrender and trust him.
Thank you so much for the call. We very, very much appreciate it. When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good is the new book from Gary Zimak. You can check out all of his books at his website, followingthetruth.com. That's also his podcast, followingthetruth.com. You know, Gary, it does seem to me one of the... I'm going to ask you about this. This is your calling. This is your ministry, is this ministry of liberating people by teaching trust in God. And one of the things I think, it sounds like you must face constantly, yeah, but what about this? It seems to me like a lot of the questions people ask, yeah, but what about this? I mean, how can I have hope and trust in a world with this, or where I'm going through this, or with the, is that a lot of the way that people talk about this and think about this with you?
It is, and that's actually what motivated me and to write the book, and at the same time scared me, intimidated me about it. I was speaking one time in the Philadelphia area, and a woman at the end, we did a little question and answer session, and she and I mentioned the Romans 8:28 verse, you know, God works, he can bring good out of all things. She said, well, what about when he doesn't? And she said, I'm not trying to be nasty, I'm not trying to be negative, but I prayed for my husband to be healed from cancer, and he died. A few months later, my son died. He wasn't healed from his illness. And she said, I'm just struggling to believe this. And you know, Si, so many people are struggling to believe it. When you turn on the news, you see these horrendous stories. We had one in the Philadelphia area recently where a young family was traveling to a barbecue. We had a flash flood. I think it made the national news. It was a father and three small children. A flood swept the car away. The mother died. The infant died in the flood. They still haven't found the infant's body. The two-year-old died. They found his body. The father and the one son survived. How do you explain that? How do you explain a good God allowing that to happen? These stories challenge us all the time. But I believe we have to remember a couple things. We live in a fallen world. This is not heaven. And I apologize if anybody's listening and they're really struggling. I am not trying to trivialize this. And that's why I didn't want to write this book. But I needed to write it because I wanted to help people. It all comes down to choosing to trust in the Lord and knowing that he's not necessarily interested in making us comfortable in this life. He's interested in making us get to heaven. And while not trying to explain natural disasters where innocent people die, sometimes when we have an incident, a disaster, we really see the goodness in people who want to help. So he somehow brings good out of these situations. But yeah, every day there's something you just can't explain. And I think a lot of these things fall into that Job category. And so the reason I wrote the way I did was in response to that woman's question who was just struggling to find the goodness of God. And, you know, you just got to pray for people who are going through things like that. If you're going through it, you know, just let the Lord know you're hurting and let him heal your heart. The Holy Spirit has an incredible ability to make us choose to believe even when it doesn't make any sense to believe. Does it make some kind of sense, Di?
It made beautiful sense to me, Gary. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. That's the thing is this book grew out of real encounters that you've had with people over the years of this ministry that you do. We do have a bunch more folks on the line, so hang on the line. I'll do this last break real quick, and we'll get back to talk with Gary Zimak, the author of the new book, When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, Jimmy's going to be here. We'll do a bonus open forum. So second hour, if you've got a open forum question, which means any kind of question when Jimmy's here, then hang on and we'll get to that. We've got Gary Zimak with us talking about his new book, When Your Days Are Dark, God is Good. I think I've mentioned everything. He'll come to your parish and do a parish mission. You can find out about that at followingthetruth.com. He's got a podcast. Oh, I didn't mention the email list. Thousands and thousands of people get this email. Gary writes every day to help you with these.
I do.
And these are encouragements and helping people to embrace the faith anew each day.
Yep. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's a Bible verse, a short reflection, and sometimes a prayer each day. Very similar to the format of Give Up Worry for Lent. I write them myself. I write them each day, usually based on the daily Mass readings. And Si, this has really taken off. People love this. They love this connection. You know, my job is, I'm just walking through life with anybody who's hurting. We're walking through together with the Lord, and I just want to help people. And the Lord has been so good to me. I want to try to help others. There is no cost for these emails. If anybody's interested, they just go to my website, followingthetruth.com. And really, all they have to do is supply their email address, and they hear from me once a day. I'm not going to spam anybody. I'm too busy to do that. But I got to stay connected to people who are hurting and, like me, who are looking for some peace in life. That's my goal.
Gary Zimak, our guest, and Greg is back in Cleveland. We couldn't connect before. I'm not sure what happened, but in Cleveland, listening on AM 1260, The Rock. I just love to say that. I'm sorry. I love when people call from Cleveland. Hey, Greg, go ahead with your question for Gary.
How you doing, Gary? Both of you guys.
Hey, Greg.
Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I don't wish to debate you because you both are a lot smarter than me, but you know what you're saying doesn't apply to everybody. Okay, and I'm really, you know, I've been listening to you, and I'm like somewhat envious of your relationship with God and Jesus. But it doesn't apply to everybody. Look, I've been in a situation which I'm not going to bore you with the details that I've been dealing with for 5 years, and countless divine mercy chaplets. I trust in you. I don't know how many thousands of times I said, but you know what? Sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I'm a little tired of faking it till I make it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it always worked, guys. I'm telling you. It ain't working for me. And I'm at a pretty low ebb at this point. And
Greg, hang on. I'm going to let Gary respond, and then we're going to come back to you because whatever that phone trouble we had before is back, and we're not hearing you. But I can identify with what Greg's saying. I wonder how you would respond to that.
You know, first of all, I am going to pray for Greg because obviously Greg's hurting, and I would encourage anybody listening to pray for Greg because I totally get it. I would expect people to question that because I'm that way sometimes. I go through what he's experiencing. Sometimes you just get fed up. Lord, I want this. I want that. Like, why? And this is something good I want. Why isn't this working out? What's wrong with you? And, you know, if we read the book of Psalms, and I really don't want to trivialize or put down anything Greg's saying because I totally understand he's hurting. So many people are hurting. I would say if we look in the Psalms, we see oftentimes desperate cries of questioning the Lord. Lord, what are you doing? Where are you? And, you know, the old fake it till you make it, I've done that a lot. And I do that many times. Many times I don't feel anything. I just feel a situation is hopeless. I've had times and times in my life and with my ministry where I think this is never going to work out, you know, and I do, if you want to call it fake it till you make it. There are times I believe in God through my faith. I believe that God loves me. He's with me. He's bigger than my problems. And I believe that he will do anything he can to get me to heaven. Sometimes that involves suffering. Sometimes that involves allowing me to walk in the darkness. Sometimes it really hurts. Sometimes it involves getting me so angry that I just yell at him. But I would just encourage Greg, and again, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I understand. It sounds like you mentioned the Divine Mercy Chaplet. You're on board with the Lord, with God. You have a relationship with him. I would just try to encourage you to yell at him if you want. Take that discussion to him. Complain to him. Cry out to him. Get angry with him. But just don't stop talking to him. And that's what Job did. He just never stopped talking to the Lord. And brother, again, I'm going to pray for you, but I totally understand. That's why this book was so hard to write, Si, because mm-hmm. I know somebody's going to look at this and say, oh, that's easy for you guys to say. And I don't ever want it to come across that way, because I do understand. I really do care. And I get why somebody would question this. And that's another reason I had to write this book, is because I am that guy. And I did question many, many times. But I found that God is faithful and that he really does love me, even when it doesn't feel like it.
Greg, I hope that was helpful to you. I wish we could come back to you, but whatever the original problem was, it's back and we are not able to. But God bless you, and be assured of many people praying for you, Greg. In the meantime, we'll go to Francis in Richmond, Virginia, listening on the EWTN app. Francis, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Gary Zimak.
Thank you. Gary, again, I'm Francis.
Hi, Francis.
And thank you for being here. Hello, Gary. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
My wife and I have been married, for 40 years, and we have a son, age 39. Anyway, my wife's a Buddhist. She's from another country. I'm Catholic. And over the 40 years, we disagree on a number of hot-button issues, and it can make me really upset about things. And my poor wife, she doesn't understand. So I guess what I'm asking is, what should I do? Because what should I do?
Yeah, Francis, that's a great question. I'm really glad you called. I think the Holy Spirit is directing these calls today. Let me share something with you. My wife would not get mad if I said this, because we've talked about this before. My ministry has not been an easy road sometimes. We struggled financially. I mentioned earlier we had to sell our house. It was very, very tough. And, you know, as we walk with the Lord, both my wife and I, in different ways, were struggling with this whole call that the Lord was calling me to do this. And my family's been supportive, but let me tell you, we have had our moments. And there was a time when my wife was very angry at God. And she told me, and she said, you know what? And you work for him, so I'm angry at you too. And you know what? My wife Eileen and I, we're best friends. We're in such a good place. We have weathered the storm, you know, many times, and we are very, very close. But what happened was, I got to a point where it would get her angry if I told her I was praying about something or praying for her, because then she would say, well, yeah, but it's not working. And why isn't he fixing this or that? Again, something I went through at many times. So what I would say is that sometimes you got to pray for your family members, be kind to them, and just hold back. And don't, if it's going to, you know, sometimes it's good to be prudent and not even let them know you're praying for them, because some people are going to get angry about that. So again, I'll pray for your situation, but let me tell you, the Lord has brought us through that. He's brought me through many situations. I have neighbors that I'm not going to talk to about God, but I pray for them. So you can always pray for somebody and be kind to them. And then when the time is right, when the Lord opens the door, then you can maybe say something a little more detailed.
Okay, Francis.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis. Thanks very, very much. I tell you what, I'd like to send you Jimmy Akin's book, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness and Where to Find It. I just think you'll enjoy the book. I like sending it to people who I think will enjoy it. And from the sound of your question, I think you will. Gary Zimak is our guest. Biblical advice to help you trust in difficult times. That's the subhead of his new book, When Your Days Are Dark, God Is Still Good, which is a surprisingly controversial thing. I mean, it's easy to know it intellectually. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do anything else with it when you're in a dark place.
It really is. And sometimes, Cy, you just have to rely on your faith. And there are a lot of days when I just don't feel it. Mostly little things, but there's been a few big things over the years that, yeah, intellectually it sounds good. Sure, God is good. He can do all things. He loves me until you're, you know, till you get laid off like I did. Yeah. 11 years ago, but that led to my career in full-time ministry. So it was a tough thing to swallow at the time, but the Lord did bring good out of it. And I'll tell you what, the more you get to know him, specifically the more you get to know Jesus and you walk with him, that's why I'm such a believer in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist and confession. I go as often as I can. I go to daily mass. I go to confession frequently because I really need the grace. And through the sacraments, in addition to scripture and prayer, I've really gotten to know Jesus. And he walks with me during the day. I really feel him. You know, he's with me.
Let's go to Juan in Iowa, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Juan, go ahead with your question for Gary Zimak. Okay, remember I said we had technical problems where I push the wrong button sometimes? That's what this one was. Hang on, Juan. Go ahead with your question.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Juan.
My sister had a stroke and 3 aneurysms yesterday.
Oh.
And she's in the hospital. The doctors don't give her much hope. She's got swelling in the brain. And they got her connected to a ventilation machine, and basically, in so many words, says that it's just a matter of time. It's not the what, it's when. Mm-hmm. So wanting some guidance, the kids are wanting to disconnect her, and I prayed with them, and I shared the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, 5 through 11, where it talks about the centurion asking Jesus to heal his servant. Mm-hmm. And I just relate that because I felt God put it in my heart to say, look, you know, he has faith. And he told Jesus, you don't have to come into my house. I'm not worthy to receive you into my house. But
right.
Medically, the doctors don't give my sister much hope. But for God, nothing is impossible.
Correct.
And I was talking with my wife, and I said, if we disconnect her, then we're not giving God a chance to work in her life. So I'm just wanting some guidance.
Okay, Gary,
how we should proceed.
All right, and I'm gonna Juan's gonna take that off the air, I guess, because he. I don't think I disconnected him. He hung up. But so we'll give him that advice. But I do want to suggest to him that on the ethical side of that, if he's worrying about, oh, he's on line 5. Okay, so he's still there. On the ethical side of that, we always refer people to the National Catholic Bioethics Center, and they will help you with making the ethical decision. That's different than what you asked Gary about, but it's part of what you asked Gary about. So I want to say that before I lose you, and then I'll give Gary a few seconds. But National Catholic Bioethics Center, if you reach out to them, they will help you with the decision, these end-of-life decisions. Gary?
Cy, I'm so glad you said that. That is absolutely good advice. But I want to give some personal testimony very quick to Juan. I have 25-year-old twin daughters, Mary and Elizabeth. They were given a 10% chance of being born alive, but they're 25, they're healthy. At the time, my wife had a very challenging pregnancy, and again, repeatedly we were told, they're not going to live, they're not going to make it. We had everybody in the world praying for them. And I ran into an old friend at an adoration chapel one day during the pregnancy, and he said, you know, with God, all things are possible, but God's will be done. And there was something freeing about that. There are plenty of examples where the Lord can heal people, but ultimately, we have to trust that he knows best and his will be done.
Praise God. Juan, thank you. Many people, I'm sure, are praying for both you and your sister and your family as you make these tough decisions. Gary Zimak, thanks. I always like it when you're here. It's weird to talk to you in the summer, but I enjoyed it.
It is. Let's do it again.
Well, all right. Let's do it again.
All right. Cy, thank you so much. I'm going to be praying for everyone who called in.
Thank you, Gary. When your days are dark, God is still good. You can get the book now wherever books are sold. You can get that book. Coming up, Jimmy Akin. Don't forget to check out Gary's website, too, followingthetruth.com. Check out the podcast, the email, all of that. Right back with Jimmy, an open forum, 888-318-7884.